So what advice can you give to teachers about what happens when their buttons get pushed by children like this?
I think that one of the things that teachers need to be really aware of is that children who have been abused or have bad early histories of adversity almost unconsciously set up an interaction with teachers because they are parental figures in many ways.
Mm-hmm.
That I'm going to show you my worst shot and I'm going to make you reject me really right on before I start to like you. So they come in loaded for bear. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And any time the teacher gets too close, that reenactment kicks in again because the child fears the relationship so much. So when I talk to teachers, I always say to them, the first thing you need to do is be pretty much in touch with your own trauma history.
Mm-hmm.
Many people
mm-hmm.
have a trauma history. Many people in schools, you know, grew up in families that weren't necessarily always easy to be with. And to take really good care of yourself. You can't teach traumatized kids if you're exhausted because they just are too physically and emotionally draining.
Right.
So you need to be able to really kind of care for yourself physically, emotionally, and spiritually, rely on friends. I've often thought that it would be really helpful for public school teachers to have some clinical supervision where they could talk through some of the things that happen in classrooms with children that are so difficult. And then it's really important for teachers to know how to manage what I call the double struggle. That's a phrase that comes from Nicholas Long, who was an old-time teacher who taught children with behavior problems for years and years and years. And what
mm-hmm.
he meant by that was that you can't de-escalate the behavior of a child who's out of control if you're out of control yourself. So, you really have
That's
to,
so true, yeah. So
yeah,
true.
We all know that. We've all been there, I think. So you have to really get a grip on how you're feeling yourself, on, you know, where your head is at. And if a child really pushes you to the point that you cannot truthfully say to yourself, I can be in charge of my own emotions dealing with this child right now, then turn the child over to a peer. You know,
mm-hmm.
if there's an aide in the classroom, ask them to take the child for 10 minutes. Once the kid gets to you at a place where you can't pull yourself back, it's no hope. You're not going to do very well at it, and the kid is just going to escalate because they're going to get frightened.
Right, right.
So the very best thing you can do is to just remain objective. Know that anything the child is doing really has nothing to do with you and everything to do with what's happened to him or her before, and that neutrality works best. I think a lot of teachers, really their hearts go out to these kids and they try to bond with them in a way that the children are not capable of responding to.
Mm-hmm.
So a neutral, fair teacher is the best kind of person to work with these kids.
Right, right.
This is what's
yeah.
expected. These are the things I can do to help you get there. And then just leave a fairly broad distance emotionally between the expectations you have of the child. You're not going to get the emotional response you might get from another child, from a child who's been traumatized.
And I think that's highly important advice because a lot of times, yeah, exactly, if you know the child's background or you know that they're going back into a big at-risk situation, then you feel sorry for them and your empathy causes you to act
that's
in such
right.
a way that you end up getting, you know, getting more frustrated because, yeah, because of the
yeah.
the behaviors.
And then it just kind of spirals down. So it's a good thing, I think, for teachers to seek out if their administrators don't provide it for them. They really need to have some training in how to de-escalate conflict in children. There's a lot of good things on the market in terms of responsive classroom does a nice job with that. And to know how to join with a child in a way that does not escalate further the emotions they're already feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And to kind of work through the steps that it takes to move a child from being really out of control to a place where they're able to talk. I know that sometimes people try to have children talk too soon.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
What we know is that anxiety and anger, stress, actually shuts down the language center of the brain so that when anyone is under stress, you really can't talk about it. You have to kind of give yourself time to calm down first. And so one of the best de-escalation strategies I could give a teacher is when somebody is really acting out of control, if they're safe, just say, I'm going to give you a few minutes when you're ready. I'd love to talk to you about what's going on to see if we can make a plan.
Right.
But not to try to process it right at the moment, in the heat of the moment. Some teachers find that giving kids options for just, you know, doodling or listening to music until they calm down is a good way to de-escalate. Journaling is something that a lot of teachers use with kids on a regular basis so that they are kind of training them to reflect on what they've done so that when something does erupt that's a problem, they've
mm-hmm.
already built up some cognitive skills they can use
mm-hmm.
to facilitate a process of de-escalation.
That's great. I know my daughter has a tendency to draw pictures. She'll take a piece of paper and draw pictures, and then just tear the picture up as a, you know, if she's, you know, upset about what she drew, which might
right.
have been troubling, you know. And but it gives her a chance to, you know, to get herself regulated and to, you know, sort of put out there what it was that she was upset about.
Right. Sometimes children. There's a lot of work that's actually being done now by people like Bessel van der Kolk, who does a lot with developmental trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And his recommendation is to not go to the verbal, to not go to cognitive processing with kids when they're upset, but to give them something that's more sensory to do to regulate sensory first.
Right.
So he'll recommend like rocking or drumming or beating on a bongo drum or just rubbing something really hard that maybe gives
mm-hmm.
sensation, just to kind of get the sensory body calmed down first and then have a place where they can use language to talk about what's going on.